Let's begin. We're up to Simin Lamed Dalet, Halacha Beis, on the handouts on page Kuf Tzadi Aleph. We are in the middle of the laws of Tzedakah. Kuf Tzadi Aleph. Lamed Dalet Beis. Kol Odom Chayvotin Tzedakah Kfi HaSogas Tzedo. Everyone is obligated to give Tzedakah depending upon what he can afford. The Afilu here is a very big chiddush from the Kitzer. Not everyone agrees to this. The Afilu Oni HaMisparnes Min HaTzedakah. The laws of Tzedakah are very long and detailed in the Yerodeah. Hilchos Yerodeah and Shulchan Aruch, there are a lot of these, that's what it's called. Kitzer Shulchan Aruch is very selective. Very, very, very few. There are many laws to the Tzedakah. Even a poor man, he's chayiv to give back. Well, let's see what it means. He's chayiv to give from his own assets tzedakah. Now the Kitzer explains what this means. How could that possibly be? If you are on the receiving end, so the people only giving you tzedakah for you to have, they're not giving you the tzedakah for you to give it away. That's not ethical. I'm giving you tzedakah for you to have, not for you to give away. So it means that if a person has, so I'll just lay it out, so read inside, a person has his own money. In other words, a person has a job. A person has a job, however, he's in the poverty category because what he earns is not enough to make a living.
Below the poverty line.
So what he earns, but he does have income. So therefore he is permitted to receive tzedakah. The Kitzer says, so the money that he earns, a small token of what he earns, he should give away to tzedakah. But that's not unethical in that people are giving him tzedakah. I mean, it's a little bit strange because the money, you know, all goes to one big pool. It's all one big melting pot. Money goes in the bank. And the only reason why I'm giving you tzedakah is that it's you should have. Yet he says, no, if you have an income, you earn money, and the money that you earn is not enough to survive, and you need to take tzedakah, okay, so you can take tzedakah, you're permitted to take tzedakah, but still you have an obligation to give from what you earn, a small token, small amount, to charity.
The stuff you collect. Let's
no.
say you earn a dollar. And you
interest.
No, you let's
there
say,
is no interest today anymore.
Just a dollar. That's your earning.
What?
A dollar.
Yeah.
You collect, go around collecting.
Yes.
You collect $5.
So the $5 you can keep. But the $1, you have to give 10 cents. You give 10 cents from the $1 that you earn. Even though you'll say to me it doesn't make any sense because it all blends into $6. Only reason why I'm giving you money stuck is because you can't afford. So don't give away what you're earning. I'm giving this to supplement. The Kitzer says that's not the way it works. If you earn money, you have to give, and you are receiving, you are mechuyev to give from what you earn, a small amount, not even necessarily 10%. Okay, there's something called ma'is, which you guys will do great in the discussion, the giving ma'is k'safim. Okay, that's it. But you have to give at least something from what you earn. And then he's going to discuss a situation where you earn nothing, where a person doesn't earn one penny, and everything he takes from tzedakah, then you don't get to give anything. That situation, or then no, the money you never give. The money that's given to you at tzedakah, you don't give away.
But it says here,
let's read what he says. How could it possibly be? It says, we have a poor man that is supported from tzedakah. He is obligated to give charity. So the Kitzer right away asks, how does that make any sense? If I'm giving him charity, it's not right for him to take the money that we give him to give it away. You're right, it depends. He has his own assets. Either he works or he has assets. He is mechuy, but he's not able to engage in business with this money. In other words, I think what he means over here is that this money that he has is not enough for him to earn a living. He has a certain amount of money. Right. He has a small apartment, but it seems also he has some income. In this situation, because he does not have enough of the
keren of the principal in order to support himself from the profit. The income that he earns from the principal that he has at home is not sufficient to make a living. Mikol makom kavan sheyesh lo bamel hisparnes chayev li tein tzedaka mimash sheyitnu lo. Since he does have enough, I guess he means the combination.
He collects enough together
with the keren that he has in his possession, with what he's given. So therefore, you mechuyev to give a little bit of tzedakah. And he brings out the famous chazal when it comes to kabanos. There's an oil of yoreid. Certain types of kabanos depends upon your financial status. Wood is much cheaper. The teacher of the concept. Echad hamar v'echad hamam d'ulvat sheichav v'liv l'shalov shabeshmaim. Avol kol she'ein loy ela dai parno soso ein oy chayev litein et tzedaka. If a person does not have enough to live, and what he has is just the bare minimum, even less than what he needs, then he is no chiv to give tzedakah. The parnosas atzmei kademes l'chol adam. So the person has a little bit more, he collects, and if he collects a little bit more than what he needs, so he seems to be saying you are mechuyev to give away a small amount to tzedakah. That would be the proper thing to do. Okay, now in the she'arim of malach, he gets involved in noshim when women give tzedakah. Simul halachas. That's what it says over here. Kol chayev din tzedakah. And this goes back to the Tanoim. We mentioned this last week when we discussed, 2 weeks ago, when we discussed the concept of Tanoim. It ties into that. That's where the laws are brought. If a woman comes to the rabbi and gives a donation, you have to look at the dollar amount. If it's a significant amount, you have to find out the husband gave permission. Otherwise, you're not allowed to accept. A woman can only give a small amount. Chazaka that it's stolen from her husband. V'davar mu'at hakol fi oisha habalim, all depends upon person's status. V'ayim ber hetif the isha hanoiseis v'noisenis bebayis im nadol letzlak. A woman who's in business, a woman who has her own parnasa, working woman. And if she gives a vow, let's talk at Sechabal Lashalim Bishvila. Come to shul, make an appeal in shul, very common, and someone goes back into the women's section to take pledges from the women, and the women gives a nice amount, $100, and then they tell the husband, they send the bill in the mail, they don't pledge, they put little clips on the paper cards, and then they send a bill at home in the shul, and the husband comes into shul and he says, what invoice is this? What is this? Your wife pledged by the Yisker appeal. So he says, she has no right to pledge. She doesn't know what she's doing. No, the answer is, if she has her own job, if she works, even though the money stopped, the money is in halacha, joint bank accounts, we'll get to in a few moments, this and that, but generally speaking, a husband and wife are a team. Their money in halacha pretty much is looked at as one, no matter how many accounts they have, it's all merged together. But if she has her own parnasa, then, according to what he's saying here, is if she pledged, whatever was done was done. That's it. You have to pay up, pay the invoice. The future in Echnami, you've made a macha. Maybe in the future, we're not going to require you to pledge.
Fundraiser. Everything he gets is stocker that you're giving.
Okay, that's a whole different. They take a salary.
That's your only income.
2/3 go for themselves.
That's
people who do fundraising. They go around collecting, so 2/3 of what they collect go to themselves.
Right.
That's how it is. Look, on the PBS, you ever watch those PBS fundraisers? So, do you know how much money goes to Channel 13?
Million.
Something, no, you know, like 5%. Yeah. Not joking, go online and check it out. 95% goes to the fundraisers.
Right.
The programming,
right.
It goes. That's scandalous. If that would happen in a Torah institution, you'll be in the papers. The truth is, Jewish always probably something like 50%. I don't know what it is. It depends. No, they always claim some. There was once an organization they claimed that 100% of the money, 100% goes to the poor people. And then they were on all these websites, they put a big scandal
They must have raised. They must have raised. Must have raised millions of dollars. And then this website took it upon themselves to expose a scandal that they spent maybe $5,000 from the millions of dollars they collected on posters. So they say it's not true. It's not true. They make a claim that 100% goes to the tzedakah, and there's no one that's in the community that's paying for the posters that were used to advertise. So it's a lie. It's not 100%. There's a fraction of 1% that's going
to the posters.
Scandal. Scandal. And among the goyim, 95% of the money collected goes to pay for the posters.
There's a website.
Jerry Lewis does. They said 90% is. I mean, 10% goes
to the charity. It's amazing. Can you imagine such a thing? 9-10%. How could that be?
Yeah. There's a website that gives you the salaries of all the offices of all the charities.
Okay, well, a lot of that is not accurate.
Humongous.
They fudge the numbers for all these.
Who's fudging? The website or the...
The organizations. They pay the certain Rashiva $400,000. She doesn't even make $30,000. So why does it say $400,000? I don't know. Some accounting... Some
decimal point there.
No, unfortunately, it's not.
Decimal point there.
Unfortunately, it's... maybe some organizations. Maybe some other organizations. What? They get a lot more. The administrators, the fundraisers. All right, that's how it is. I don't know. Every organization is different. It all depends. Everyone is different. Okay, let's go further. You know, look, there's something to it. There is definitely people who know it's a talent, who know how to fundraise. You know, if they can do it, they deserve it. If they can bring in the money, they know how to do it. It's a very good skill, and every organization needs someone to help them. It's no joke. Okay. Avagav yochlem rozol lo lo halva bi kobak ma shnot va kvar tsokh lo shavi ein mel shuv is toyf toyf tam das de harav hashel rozol khadish im zman hazeh. Look at this beautiful concept. The zman hazeh she kaisen bi atnoyim. If you make tnoyim, okay, a lot of people today don't make tnoyim. Modern Orthodox,
this is 1884.
Okay, but I'm just telling you that today modern Orthodox are not writing tnoyim. Many of them are not writing tnoyim anymore because they hold that why do you need tnoyim? The whole, you don't, by an engagement you're not making tnoyim. The tnoyim is only, we discussed, it's only for the engagement period. If you're coming to the wedding, the tnoyim is only going to be for 5 minutes from the time when until you march down the chuppah. So they don't do tnoyim. What?
They make tnoyim because they need a plate for the photographer.
Picture.
Right.
Or okay, but we discussed this. There's this tradition, Jewish tradition, whatever. Most people who do tonight is because they just don't want to tamper. It's like a taboo. You don't want to tamper. It says nice things. Lo zeh mizeh, lo mizu mizu. People sign. Tradition. Is it really practical? No. But tradition. But here he seems to say, says very big chiddush, that it is practical. He said what it seems to imply is that what it says in the Tanayim does not expire after they get married. The old traditional Tanayim, always Tanayim, the Tanayim was, don't run away. You promised to marry me. We got engaged. It seems people got cold feet in the old days. They get cold feet today. Today there's a lot more pressure, obviously. Today there's a lot more social pressure. People, they back out the day of the wedding itself. We all know stories like that.
Yes.
Under the chuppah, they can back out. But in the olden days, there wasn't this social pressure, and it wasn't so uncommon for people to get engaged and then say, you know what, forget it. I found someone I like better than you. Goodbye, good riddance. I'm not going to marry you. They skipped out. So in order to pressure people not to back out, they wrote to Noyim that you're not going to run away. There's going to be a knas, a fine, if you run away. Once they started writing documents, let's make another condition. Dad, you're going to supply for the wedding this number of chickens, and you're going to supply the feathers for the pillows, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. And it became, I have a whole book. I have a whole book of 100 tanoim, all different types of conditions, all different rules and regulations. One of the conditions says that we're going to rule over the money equally. Now, I told you the reason, how could that possibly be? In this Haredi world, there's no such thing as equality between man and woman. The man's in charge. The woman is in charge, and the man thinks he's in charge. that's the way it is. So what does it mean in the Tanoim that they will rule over their money, shaveh b'shaveh?
Look what it says. If I am shall shuv tov tovadav, the harav shalom rots in the chadash, the bezman hazeh shekoysen betunayim, the yishlitu b'nichsei hoin, shove b'shove, equally, equal partners. Mimela yesh lahanoshim rishus litein tztaka, you can give tztaka. And that's making a tremendous assumption that this statement, b'shove b'shove, applies after they get married, and the tnoim is not cancelled after they get married. He's saying, no, what it says in the tnoim applies even after they get married. However, whoever told you that these words are to be taken literally? All it means is it's words of baracha. It's not words of halacha. V'hu docha sham dvarav, the lashon zerak shufro d'shtoro. It's a beautiful expression. The loy tenai gomer, it doesn't really mean it. It just means they should have peace among them where it'll appear as if everything they do will be done in joint partnership. V'yayim b'shal shuvus masham, shehevim b'shal shuvus maharik, shakasa b'fei reshtim, kasa lashon who tonight gomer, he disagrees. It's a tonight gomer. We are nechassim mecheska shneim lekassim arsham diyevshem bezman hashas loykassu loshen zel lechem amu dein mekavim tztak menoshem when the gemara said because they didn't write tonight in those days. Tonight is a modern thing. The avsh ein lechadish davar zemiatzmenu akoponim snif gadlhu, and therefore he wants to say suggest that bezman hazel when a woman pledges money to a tztakah, she has to be true to her word. The husband cannot ignore the invoice. Okay, next halacha. Now we come to halacha gimel. How much money do you give tzedakah? So it all depends on the person's, how much the person is used to. Kama yitin adam l'tzedakah shana, I skipped. Gimel. Kama noisim l'lani dey machsara, what he's lacking. Asher yechsa, that's what says in the pasuk, what he's lacking. Fahayim b'ani shemekabal b'chashay b'chuyaman shoy iliti loy kol machsara. A person once had a high standard of living. He was used to a certain lifestyle, and then he lost all his wealth. So al pi halacha, you mechuyev to give him what he needs, what he's accustomed to.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you can't sustain that for a long period of time. Obviously, if he's not going to make back his fortune, but in the meantime, until you figure out a plan to go forward, in the meantime, if he has car payments, right? He has a nice car. Yeah, he drives around. A Genesis. The Genesis is more expensive than a Lexus. Only a Lexus? No, Genesis.
Genesis is more expensive.
Than a Genesis?
It's more expensive. It's from the less than luxury cars. It's the
most okay.
any
a person is leasing a Lexus, right? And all of a sudden, you know, he had a nice job. He had a very good parnasa. And all of a sudden, he loses his job. So does that mean tell him that's it? Cancel the lease?
Standard?
Yeah, what happens if he's in jail? Because he did something wrong, or doesn't have.
I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know.
But
that's what it says. If you take the words literally, it's a scary halacha. It says what it says. Obviously, people are not going to, it's not going to be easy to collect money to pay for someone's Lexus. Obviously. I'm no one's giving money when people, the other people that are suffering a lot more, you're not going to be able, but I guess in the situation where we're living in an idyllic community where everyone has what they need, and just a question of going the next step. Maker Hadin, it says here, Kasha Hoy Ruggle, Mekhadim Shana, before he became poor. Person, you have to maintain the person's dignity. And as long as no one knows he lost his money, he's a secret ani. So in the meantime, until we figure out a plan of action, you have to maintain his dignity. Aval ani hamachsab sach, a person has no dignity, Rachman Litzlan, who goes from house to house collecting, you don't have to go give him a Lexus. Ridiculous. Then Nestim Lamatan Muet is a small token, Kizulfier, according to what he needs. Every person should have the need to eat food for enough of two meals, a makom lalon, the place to sleep. Another very fascinating halacha which brought down a Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea, that you give tzedakah to the aniye oivdei kochav mazalos im aniye yisrael b'bnei darkei shalom. I got it recently, came to the house, came knocking the door of Shabbos, they came to collect for children in Africa. They wanted $25. The whole program to sign up. So I couldn't tell them no. I couldn't. They were so sincere. They were so, and they didn't want to go away. So I had no choice. I normally would give a person, I don't have money to give a dollar, $2. But they really did a job on me. So I had no choice. This whole story, they were legit. They were so legit. I know. But it's so amazing. It's such a Musar Haskell how professional they were compared to the Jewish organizations, which don't know where they're coming or going. I mean, they had all documentation, the paperwork, and the websites, and they came with a tablet to sign. Like, you know, it was ultra high tech how they came to collect and the presentation, and they knew what they were doing. They were legit as could possibly, and then they got a follow up call, and of course I canceled. You know, they wanted to put me on a plane forever, so I gave them. I said, like, I gave them once, very nice, but like, you know, Atkan, I can't go.
You gave them a check or cash?
I gave them credit card. They swipe it. They swipe it.
They swipe.
They have a tablet. We live in a high tech world today. Even a cell phone today. They have apps for cell phones where you can swipe the cell phone. Or you don't even give PayPal. Now all the banks are getting into copying PayPal where you can send with email on the spot. But it was a Musar Haskell for a Jewish organization. How to fundraise, and it says to you, mechuyif. It's dark Yisrael. They see a religious person. They don't want to give. You want to be nasty. It's not nice. It's just a chilul Hashem, and therefore, malbishim aniyev v'chad mevazosim aniyev in Yisrael b'nei dark. Someone told me a big philanthropist. They give millions. I once made a comment to someone, a stupid comment I made about a certain philanthropist. Religious from the Haredi, he was cited. He gave an enormous amount of money to a museum, enormous, like mind-boggling amount of money, and he also gives hundreds of, I know hundreds, but he gives millions of dollars to other Jewish, to the Haredi community. So, why is he giving so much money to a museum, Narishkeit? The answer is, that's how it goes. When you're in these circles, the same way he gives these organizations, he gives $100,000 to a museum, when he comes to collect for Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, his buddies, they also shell out big, big money for Aniyei Eretz Yisrael. So you shouldn't be choicher when you see people from the Haredi community are giving large amounts of money to things like what? What in the world are they giving to this? This is ridiculous. It's not ridiculous. There's something to it. There is. You have to give to other causes because of the big picture. The big picture. They know what they're doing, and it increases tzedakah for us as well.
Jewish client spoke a week ago, Project Witness.
Yeah.
He said he was the chairman who built the Jewish the museum in downtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
Battery place. His condition, Koch, he told Koch, I will only be chairman and build it if you put in the bylaws it must be closed on Shabbos and Jewish holidays.
Wow.
He said that's the only museum in New York
that closes on the weekend.
And he insisted that it be put in. So that even after he dies,
unbelievable.
That will be closed.
Wow.
He says that he's putting up a matzeva for $6 million.
Many of the executives are from people who work for the museum.
Fascinating story. Okay, let's go look at. Like I told you, it was Kedai. If you can get out that article from Mishpacha magazine over Sukkot, where they describe, unfortunately, what these collectors go through. And one collector said, $1, or what do you say? $1 in Lakewood to me is worth $10 in Brooklyn. Because in Lakewood, people are trained differently. They don't have any money to give. They're all very poor. Many of them are very poor. But when you knock on their door, they welcome you. They give it a whole different attitude.
They give you what they give you, exactly.
Or they give you a drink. They say nice things to you. They mechazik you. They can't give you very much. And in Brooklyn, just take the $10 and get out of here. Just get away from me. And that's scary. It's scary stuff. Let's see over here. The Shem Shem Mahalacha. Dala. Dein Asra Asher Yechsalai. Ayin Berich Yosef. Shelo Yof Oysim Eilu Ha-Gaboyim Shemekatsim Amomen Mashin Esnadvu Abalibatim Lo'ani Vehim Listim Lo'ani Pochus Mimash Esnadvu Abalibatim. They give less. They make a collection. They tell the Balibatim we need $100 and they only give the Ani $75 or $50 or less. It's wrong. If you go and you tell people how much you're giving the people, don't go take pocket the money for yourself or go divert the money for other causes. You have to be honest to what you're collecting for. I don't know what that place is. Diber mizeh al davar haminika izem lekaymos kashabo erech hagogin holchem mishnei balabatim lekabitz mos ba'avuray v'yaskiru b'shmoy v'yachakach ein noistim loy kol haskum shekotzvo. They don't give. They collect a certain amount of money. They ask how much money they need. They don't give the amount. They give less. They give to the cause less. Lo noistim lepachas mehaskum v'amoisar munach l'shoraniyim. We're collecting $1 million and they only give to the organization $700,000 and the other $3,000 is going to the bank. bank, and we'll see what we'll do with it. We'll see what's going to be. That's not what you told the people. You told the people you need the money. That's wrong. Kosav shosham lefarish hasham lebuvim barash. The moiser anim laniim hainu im oni she nignav loy hamos kibul mashat tzorich lo v'nitoyshu. The money that was collected for the poor and you have leftover money, according to Gavli most lignos lemalbush v'nitoysar. The only time you can do that is when you're collecting for a specific cause. We're collecting to buy someone a coat. So now you need for the coat $100, and now you have $120. So now you put the $20 in the reserve fund. But when you're collecting cash, and we need $100, and he doesn't need $100, we'll only give him $75. That is a lie. That is dishonest. That is wrong. So when you're collecting funds for a poor man, you have to give the funds that you collect directly to the person. They always make a taluma is an appeal. They give less. They collect the money and they pocket some for themselves. So this is a musr for gaboyim and shuls who collect money for a cause and they don't give all the money they collect. They have all these excuses why we need to keep the money for ourselves or divert it for a different cause. And it's even worse. Someone once told me that they all call out pledges. Guess what? They don't give a penny. They just call out. They call out.
That's an old story.
That's a scary thing.
That's an old story.
To call out and not even to give.
Of course.
Okay, halacha dalit. Next halacha, how much the person, how much does a person give? The first thing you give in a keren, you give a maaseh min hakeren 10% from the principal. So a person makes a killing in the market of $1 million. When you earn the money, a person earns, let's say, $1 million, he makes a killing in the stock market. So the first year,
after taxes.
According to almost all parts, definitely after taxes. Now the question is, what about after expenses? What about Maaser is an extremely complex area of halacha, and there's no agreement of opinion on when does the chiv start? Is it after you pay your rent, after you pay your tuition, shiva tuition, they call the mitzvah, after you pay, what about if you're supporting children in kollel? What about your vacation? What about your food? So there are many, many different opinions. But generally, first, you don't have to start even considering to pay maaser until you pay your taxes. Okay, that's the first thing. First, pay your taxes. After you pay your taxes, look what's left over. Then you can be making when it comes to tuition. You're tight, so if you're paying tuitions, you don't have to start until you pay the tuition. That's a deduction. And then it comes to supporting children. It's also, especially children in kollel. That's also a deduction. And then the list goes on and on and on, and before you turn around, you want a refund.
No, not only
you're out of business.
Collecting.
I'll tell you something. Yesterday I was in shul's waiting for mincha. While I was waiting for mincha, I overheard a conversation. Okay, this is overheard. This person's a very big Talmud Chacham. When he was talking to his friend, and he said, I was in Shabbos by my daughter, and my daughter asked me the following question. This is all overheard in shul. Should be a book. Overheard all these different places. There should be a book. Overheard in shul. What?
Metropolitan Diary at the time.
What? Have overheard?
Yeah.
In the street, in the park, on the train, so on and so forth. Overheard in shul story. I was at home, my daughter asked me, why in Birchas Rosh Chodesh are we mispalel for Oysher v'chavod and for Parnasa? If you have Parnasa, so what do you need? Oysher v'chavod? Just be mispalel. Chayim shel Parnasa. So he said, what? No, so Parnasa is Parnasa. That's what Parnasa is. Support. You have Parnasa. It means Parnasa. You have a good job. You have a normal life. You work 9 to 5. You have what to eat. Well, you have, you know, that whatever Parnasa is. What's this? Are you sure? So he said, I told my daughter on the spot, without even blinking my eyes, when you marry off a child, you learn very quickly that parnasa is not enough. You need oisher v'chomer. Parnasa doesn't do it.
You don't get covered, that's
why. At least oisher, at least self or something. And then I heard the Yisrael Rashur, he was talking also about this, and he started on kavod. And what normal person he started, this is really, what normal person would stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam and be toveya kavod? how could you think about it? So what does it mean then, kavod? Kavod means toir. He had a whole drasha, what it means kavod, whatever he said. But the way he started, how could a normal person stand before Hashem and be toveya? I want kavod, Hashem. Give me kavod. 10% from interest. If you can get interest in the bank today, I don't know if you can get interest in the bank today.
Point zero 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 zero.
Used to be they used to give the bank 20% interest in the bank. In the bank.
That was in the 70s. When they had
16%
of
CDs.
18%.
17, 18%. We had 16% inflation in 1975.
18%.
They threw in a toaster.
And a toaster. Where in the world can you do that today? Even the best investment can't match that.
Wow.
Different.
Wow.
Zohi mida beinonis. Let's see. So shevach. So what is the person? The person who gives mikan ve'elok yitein ma'isa min harevach shevich kol shana from the interest, but not from the principal. The principal you only give once, and that's it. You only give once, and then you only give from profits. Chutz mitza yitein ma'isa min harevach shevich kol shana. Now here he says three words which are very controversial. Okay, chutz mitzorchei beisa. He says that before you give Meiser, you first deduct your needs, your expenses. Sorche beso. I need to eat, I need to buy clothing, I need to pay health insurance, I need to pay car insurance, I need gasoline, all these things. These are called sorche beso. After all the sorche beso, let's see how much we got left. And then we'll first give Meiser. Is that really the way you calculate Meiser? That's what he says. Not everyone agrees. Some agree that there are some much more gray area. Not everything of Tzorchei Beso is included in the equation. Everyone is different. Most people don't even have to ask the Shaila because they only have that much anyway to give. So it's not even these little theoretical questions when you're very, very super wealthy what to do. Zohi Mida Beinonis. This is middle ground. You hear that? Middle ground. You're only in the middle if you give 10%. What should you really do? How many really do this? Here, you give 20%. 20% of your earnings go to tzedakah. Don't give more than 20%. Now here's a tremendous chiddush. Only time you can't give more than 20% is your lifetime. But when a person is about to die, you want to deny your children the Yerusha. Unbelievable. A third, you can give up to a third. The rest, two-thirds go to the children. Don't use your Meiser money for mitzvahs. That's not right. Meiser money goes to support poor people, where the money is going to disappear. Can you imagine? It's very painful to give tzedakah. Because what happens? You give tzedakah to a poor man, he goes and he buys food, and that's it. The money is gone. Wouldn't you like to go give money to buy a building? I have $1 million, and the building will be forever. Right? They say, a lot of the institutions, I heard this, a lot of institutions say it's not so hard. Regular institution, it's not a big deal to raise money to build a building. It's not a big deal. They'll make a couple of phone calls. They need a building, they'll build the building, we'll get the money to the building. What's very hard is to pay salaries, to earn money to pay salaries, to maintain the building, electricity, you know how much it costs, electricity. I heard one of these local institutions, I don't know if it's true, the month of September, he told me that the electricity bill in a certain institution, I don't want to say because maybe that might be true, but he claims, he promised me it's true, $40,000 electricity for the month of September. $40,000. Can you imagine what kind of bills?
Air conditioning.
What?
They get you know, they have processing when they pay electricity a month.
How much?
You have about 300,000.
Wow. The machines.
You have to keep it cool.
The refrigeration. $300,000. Now you know why meat costs so much. $300,000. Wow. It's a lot of money. So here it says, "Ein lasos imaisa shlo davarim devar mitzvah." Go neros. Don't buy neros. Lebeis hakinu. Do not buy neros. Lebeis hakneses. So shlo davarim le mitzvah. Raki de laniim. Do not buy candles. That's a devar mitzvah. Even the devar mitzvah that's going to be consumed, that's not right. Giving money to a shul is not the equivalent of supporting poor people. That's the most important thing. Now here's a fascinating thing, a historical thing. This is unheard of today. Unheard of. Maybe they'll bring this back one day. You'll hear you heard it first. When someone has a baby, who's the tzaddik? You give it to the Rosh Shiva, right? You give it to the Rav. You give it to the Zayda. Where do you give it to the Zayda Mishpacha first? You're going to get into trouble. That's not the way it was in ancient times. When there was a baby, it was sold to the highest bidder. Would you believe it?
They
sold it to the highest. You do by the Sardin?
I've seen. Like,
there's an auction.
They sell something.
You've seen this?
I have money on a tray.
No, that's by picking up something.
No, by a bris. I had a bris on Chalamai Tzukas once. They're selling something.
It's an auction. Could you imagine to be Zoich? I want the mitzvah. I want it. Who does the money go to? The money goes to the shul. The money goes not to support poor people. In other words, it depends. Sometimes the money goes for the family. Family, they're very poor, whatever. That's a different story. The family support, that's giving to Anim. But let's say you have a shul with it. The people are comfortable.
To be a Sandik, he's supposed to be rich. He's supposed to get rich.
He's supposed to get rich. That's another thing. But can you imagine you have a family? They're comfortable people. They're making the bris. And now they want to use this opportunity to bring in money to the institution, to a course. They want whatever. They want whatever they want to do. Highest bidder. Auction. Who wants to buy sand? Oh, sand kois. Who wants to buy? Never heard this. Never heard of this until I learned this halacha in Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. Sand kois. And so I have now in my hands. I have in my hands $5,000. I'll never have an opportunity in my life to be a sandik. I'm not in that madrega. No one gives me a sandik. I want the opportunity. Can I take my nicer money and use it to buy a mitzvah of sandikos? And the money will go for a good cause. The money's not going down the drain. It's going for something. No, it's usr. Give the money to support poor people. Don't take the money to use the mitzvah when the money's not going to go for such a great, to go and inflate the salaries of people who really don't need the money anyway. Don't do that. Give the money to support poor people. Even lachnas chosim kala, it says, is not such a great thing. Giving money for chnasas kala, that's not as great as supporting poor people. Chnasas kala, that's a one-time thing. So I take it back. He says, "Yochol lasois mimaser." I take it back. I didn't read the words right. He says that if he never had an opportunity, it's not the ideal thing to do. Okay, that is true. That is true. It's not the ideal thing to do. But he says here, Imlo, the only exception is if you'll never ever have this opportunity, Imlo hoya yecholes biyadoi, velo hoya oisa mitzvah mimamon shalo, yochol lasois mimaser. Okay, so he says you can't do it. Bishas hatchak, it's a mitzvah. I'm giving the money for the purpose of a mitzvah, to buy sfarim, for the tzibur, or to hachnasas kala, or there's a special mitzvah, or have the opportunity to be a sandik. It's a very big mitzvah, a very big schus. And of course, the money is going for good needs. Don't get me wrong. The money is going, obviously, to buy sfarim for a shul people to learn Torah. The money is going for hachnasas kala. The gemara is going, the money is for being the sandik. The money is going to go to support the shul. It's a good thing, but it's not the ideal. It's not the ideal. The ideal is to support poor people. That's where the money should go. And therefore, you're doing a mitzvah, and you would not do this mitzvah otherwise. So then, b'dyavid, you can, if you really want to do it, you can do it. If you buy svarm with money of meiser, you're not allowed to keep it for yourself. You have to give it to a shul. You have to lend it out. Unless you need, then you can use it for yourself. Don't put your name in the shul, so that your children do not keep it for themselves. If you're using your mice and money, it has to go for the community, not for yourself. So we'll stop here, pick up tomorrow.